Good.
Am I on? Was I on at the beginning? I was not. I don't know why. I didn't change anything. Yep. We got it. You can hear me now, though, right? My wife warned me that you guys couldn't hear me real well. We can't have that happening. Easter matters. And I really want to push that just a little bit because I think that in the secular world, Easter really doesn't matter anymore. And it's not so much about Christ. There's hardly anything about Christ in Easter. Christmas, you still think about, well, it's Jesus' birthday. But you never hear anything about Jesus on Easter anymore. Does anybody recognize that? Am I totally in the dark, or is that, do you recognize? And I just want to say Easter matters. The reason for Christmas is Easter, if that makes sense. And I want to push that point in your mind for a couple of seconds, is Easter matters. Why does it matter? Don't ask questions, just preach, right? Okay, why does it matter? Why? Huh? Yeah, Jesus was raised from the dead. Well, what significance is that? I mean, really, for real, why? What? Because I know Sunday school answers. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus resurrected. But what difference does it make? He rose again. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all need to get out of church and get on the street just a little bit and talk to people at work about Jesus, because the honest lost person, and it's really good if you go to street people, because they don't care. They don't have anything to lose. Right? They don't lost at all. Right? And you say Jesus resurrected, and you have somebody say to you, so what? What difference does it make? To you, what difference does it make that Jesus did rise from the dead? Okay. Number one, they don't believe he did. Number two, they don't care if he did. Number three, what difference does it make? And let me make a point. That's what I do, okay, is this right here, is because people are broken. Anybody know any broke people? Let me tell you something. There is no hope for them. They have tried stuff that did not work. I'm going to end with this, but I'm going to start with it. I'm going to end with it. Have you ever seen do not put tires in the landfill? Has anyone ever seen that? If you haven't, try to take some. Let's see what happens to you, right? And when you take it, what do they tell you? What do they tell you? Anybody ever tried to take tires to the landfill? You never did? Anybody awake today? Okay. Yeah. Here's what will happen if you take tires to the landfill. They will tell you, don't put them in the landfill. Put them in this bin over here. Give me some extra money to put them there. Okay. Do you know why they do not put tires in the landfill? Let me tell you why. I didn't know that. I just found this out about a month ago. I never knew it. Is because what will happen when you put a tire in the landfill is the pressure will push it down and it will deflate, inflate, because it's pushed down and that rubber's pushed down, and it'll push back. And a tire, if there's less pressure here, a tire will find its way through the landfill and be right back up on top in a couple of years. And then they'll take it and they'll put it back on the bottom again. And in a couple of years, a tire will work its way through the landfill and be right back up on top again. Then they will do it again. They said, we got to answer. Quit putting them in the landfill. There are people that got broke when they were 10 years old. And their problem keeps working through the murk of life and comes right back up on the top again. And at 50 and 60 and 40 and 30, they are making decisions because of their brokenness. And they didn't even break themselves. Somebody else broke them. And there is no hope. I'm telling you the truth. They have been to counseling, and counseling will not fix it. So they try to drink. Then they try to drug. Then they try to sleep with people. Then they try to become successful. And every time they do what they thought would help them, the tire is compressed inside them, and it comes right back up again. People die, and they are gone. And your heart is broken. And there is no hope for that brokenness. That's why Jesus resurrected, is because people are broke, people get sick, people die, and what he did was enter into that brokenness, entered into that death, resurrected so he could overcome it. Now please hear me, not for him, he was already over it. Do you know Jesus was already over sin before sin was ever committed? He was already over it because he was above it. He never did it for him. Who did he do it for? And the worst thing in the world would be, and the church does this, the worst thing in the world would be is we have that kind of hope and we give people an Easter basket. I'm just saying, what we have is bigger than the way the culture celebrates the day. Does that make sense? And so what we want to say is Easter matters because Easter matters. You know the number one reason people come to church? Does anybody know? I'm a professional. I know the right answer. Do you know why people come to church? There is a number one. What's that show where they go, ding, wrong answer, and when you get it right, it ding, and then it comes back in the back. Family Feud. You remember that? Okay, this is Family Feud. Right now, what's the number one answer people come to church? Somebody died, a kid was born, they got married. Those are high-end answers. They will be like, you'll say that and it'll go ding 5, ding 7, and then there's one that'll go ding 90%. Okay? Number one reason people go to church. Yeah, but if I never heard of worship, I don't know what worship is, then why would I come? Do you understand what I'm saying? Number one reason people come to church. To get fed? Is that what Mark said? Yeah, but I don't know. I need fed. I wouldn't come the first time. All right? Do you know what the number of guilt? I want to get rid of my guilt. Ding! 3. There's only 3 people in 100 that would say that. The number one reason people come to church is. Now I switched song. I didn't switch metaphors. I switched game shows. Now we're on Jeopardy. And it does not matter if they are 15 or if they are 50. It doesn't matter the age group. There's lots of things. See, a 30 or 40-year-old, 40, you're getting old. At 30, you will come to church because you are now responsible for a family and you need help to get through that. Okay? But it doesn't matter if it's from 5 to 70. There is a number one reason people come to church, and it is somebody invited them. That's why. Or if you were me, I had a real young drug problem. My mom drugged me to church. I started out, I was a drug addict early because if the doors were open, guess what? Our family opened them, right? And so that skews, that one right there, it skews the numbers a little bit because my mom never asked me if I wanted to go to church. Anybody else have a mom like that? She just said, it's Wednesday. What are you talking about? It's Sunday. What are you talking about? Yeah, there's no question about it. So that goes into the ask, right? I have a question number 2. Why don't people ask other people to come to church? That'll be an oh mine. That won't be an amen for us in this room. Why do we not ask other people to come to church? Mm-hmm. Go ahead and give your answer, and then I'm going to give the real answer. We do not have confidence in the resurrection. The reason we do not invite other people into our gathering is we do not have confidence in the resurrection. We kind of wonder if anything will happen. Anybody with me on that? We wonder what they will think about us. Whatever. I got 100 answers. I got 100 answers, and my answers are more than you because I've thought about it more. Okay? There are lots of reasons. But when you boil it down, so what do we need? Don't get under condemnation. Everybody look up. Don't look down. When you look down, I know you're the one that isn't inviting anybody to go to church. So now I can really dig into you now because I know the answer because I read your body language. That's not it. Jesus never meant for him to confront something in us that needs to be challenged or changed. He never meant for our eyes to go down. When I'm confronted with something that needs to challenge or change, he means for my eyes to come up. And he goes, you just keep looking at me and I'll give you the answer to that challenge and you're going to overcome it. God never allows you to be in a fight you can't win. Never. He would never do that to you. If you are in a circumstance that you think you can't overcome, you're wrong. Right? I'm not being mean. I'm being real. I've lived through those circumstances. I just, at least once a month, I sit in my chair. My chair is cold. It's broke. It slides. I can sit in three angles at one time and look outside. And my wife's trying to get rid of it. And I go, I just now got it broke in right. And I sit in my chair before it's daylight at least once a month. And I thank God that he got me through every circumstance I thought I would never make it through in my life. I just rehearsed them. I didn't think I could make it through that. There was no way I could make it through that. The circumstances were too difficult. I couldn't get out of that. God, I cried out in the night because it was impossible. And here I am in this broke down chair on the other side of it. Do you know why? Because of the resurrection. Easter is important. And today, we celebrate, we call it Palm Sunday. We celebrate Jesus coming into Jerusalem, okay? And I just want you to know there's a new sheriff in town. Anybody remember the old Western? Anybody, could somebody please raise their hand if they've ever enjoyed an old hokey Western ever in your life, right? And what is it? There's a bad sheriff. And he's a bad good guy. This is every Western you've ever seen. He's a bad good guy, right? And then there is a good bad guy that used to be the gunslinger, killer, rustler, whatever the guy was. And the good bad guy comes to defeat the bad good guy. And in the end, he wins. And 5 minutes to 7 minutes before the show is over, big confrontation, and the bad good guy comes riding into town, and what is it? There's a new sheriff in town now, right? And he wins, and then he wins the girl, and she never did like the bad good guy or good bad guy anyway, and all that, and then he wins the girl, yay, and the end will come across the end of it. Right? Palm Sunday is Jesus saying there's a new sheriff in town. It is Jesus saying a new king has come to the earth. That's what it is. And now what he's going to say is, put your hope in this king. He's going to confront powers on Palm Sunday that he will defeat on the cross on Friday. He's going to engage three realms of power on Sunday. On Friday, he will defeat them. But his victory is covert. It looks like he lost and they won. Those three powers, I'll take it apart a little bit more in a minute, are politics, religion, and demons. The Romans, the Jews, and Satan. He's going to confront Roman government, Jewish religion, satanic power. He will confront them on Sunday. He will engage them. Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey is a covert king sneaking into town to take over all power. You go, oh, he's coming on a donkey, humble. Yes, he is coming in humble. But when he rode that donkey, he was he was fulfilling Zechariah 9:9 that said the king will ride in on a donkey. Does that make sense? He will defeat them on the cross on Friday, but it will look like it's his defeat. Does that make sense? Okay, let me prove it to you. Let me prove it to you. There are 8.2 billion people on the earth. Now, they might not be flaming born-again Christians, but there are 2.6 billion that say they associate with Jesus Christ. 2.6 billion people on the earth in some way say they are Christian. On Friday night, the Roman government ruled the world. In 2026, the Roman government is gone. On Friday night, the Jewish leaders influenced the Roman government. They said, we will kill him, he will be done away with, and we will be in control. And today, the Jewish religion per capita is minuscule on the earth. There are 2.6 billion people 2,000 years later that name Jesus as king. Who won the battle? It was an overt victory that was won in darkness in the middle of the day on the cross, that the king came into the city being celebrated as king, but on Friday he dies on the cross in darkness. But he won because the resurrection matters. The power of the resurrection now resonates from that tomb across time, across eternity, across ages, across nations. And it says, no matter how dead, no matter how broken, no matter how traumatized, no matter how difficult the problem you are going through, the power of the resurrection releases life into the brokenness, that human beings can go free in the mighty name of Jesus. Isn't that some good news? So I want you to look at something with me, and we'll read this. Well, let's just read the scripture. Let's do it backwards. We'll just read the Bible, and then I'll preach it. No, that's the way most people do it, isn't it? I do it backwards because I'm dyslexic. No, I'm really not dyslexic. I'm just different. But generally, I like to preach and read the Bible just because everybody else likes to read the Bible and preach. It's just me being me. Okay. If you will go to Matthew chapter 10, or 21, Matthew 21, I want to give you some hope in a king. I want to take the scripture and look through the scripture at what Jesus went through on the last week, and then come at the end and just invite us to pray. Because I believe that that name still has power today. Today what I'm going to do is talk about hope in a king. It's the introduction of the king. And then on Thursday at 7 o'clock, we will gather here. And I'm going to talk about hope in communion, or hope in a new covenant. So there's a king. That king brings a covenant. We'll look at that covenant on Thursday, 7 o'clock. And then at noon on Friday, the next day on Friday, which we celebrate Jesus dying on the cross, I'm going to talk about hope in the cross, hope in crucifixion. So there's hope in the king today. On Thursday, hope in a new covenant. Then on Friday, hope in the crucifixion. And then next Sunday, hope in the resurrection. What I want to do is tie those themes together to say what is introduced on Palm Sunday is fulfilled on Friday. What is fulfilled on Friday now is implemented on Sunday. So what happened was Jesus died in order to resurrect. When he resurrected, he proved the devil could not control him. Yeah. There's a scripture that we forget that's in the Bible. It's 1 John 3:8, and what it says is, "For this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So there's one light in scripture that we could turn on and look at it from the Garden of Eden to Revelation 20, and what we would see is there is a prophecy of the destruction of the devil in Genesis 3. It is implemented on the cross, and it is finished in completeness in Revelation chapter 20. In that vein, what the scripture says is every human has been under the sway of the devil, and there is no hope because humans cannot defeat the devil. And then Jesus comes, dies on the cross, and when he resurrects, here's what he's saying: I have proven that the devil, death, disease, destruction cannot control me. I have overcome it, and now I resurrect. Okay, this is not in the notes, but it's in the moment, okay? When Jesus, 50 days later, after the resurrection, he stood on a mountain and human beings watched a human being raise up through the sky without oxygen on, no pressurized suit. He just raises and goes to heaven. Daniel chapter 7 picks up that picture and says he arises to the Ancient of Days, is given his right to rule, and sits on the throne of the universe forever. When Jesus did that, what he said was, as a resurrected human, I have all power over everything in the first heaven, in the second heaven, and in the third heaven. Every demonic power had to watch Jesus rise and overcome everything that they could ever do to a human being, and he rose above it with it under his feet, and now he sits on the throne of the universe forever in power. He confronts it on Palm Sunday. He defeats it at the cross, and he implements his overcoming in the resurrection. So the devil goes, it takes sin to die. Jesus didn't have any. How's he going to die? The wages of sin is death. So what he did was he borrowed Dennis's sin and Dennis's sin. And he said, "Dennis, if you will give me your sin to die, I will give you my life to live. I will take your sin, give you my righteousness on the cross. If you will come to the cross." And now when he resurrects, he goes, Dennis has to die and stay dead because Dennis sinned. I sinned for Dennis. I died for Dennis, but I never sinned, is what Christ would say. And he comes up out of the grave with, and here's what the scripture says, without the devil having anything in him or anything to hold on to. And he goes, I overcome all of it. And now by the power of my spirit, I release the power of the resurrection among a people called those that believe in Jesus Christ. It is great news. All right? So on this day, they have a spontaneous breakout of worship. It's just a crazy worship service. It could happen here today. No, this one, we don't need this one to happen unless you got a coat on. but Jesus is riding into town, and they just, it's not in the Bible, it's just weird. Everybody just starts taking their coats off and laying it before him, and he rides in on this donkey. Do you remember that one? And they're ripping trees, leaves off the trees, and Hosanna, blessed is he comes in name. They're worshiping him. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road. Others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and those that followed after him were shouting. We sang that song, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed it is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When they had entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, Who is this? And the crowd says, This is the prophet Jesus from the Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus entered the temple, and we're gonna go to the last. This is one we're gonna preach. I'll give you two more understandings from Scripture, and then we're gonna go to the last one because it is the most. This is a hidden little vignette that if I ask you what happened on, I just ask you out of the blue, what happened on Palm Sunday? What would you tell me? Well, somebody's gonna go. They threw their laundry in the road, and Jesus rode across it on a donkey. How many times had that donkey been ridden before? It says zero. Now, I asked Daryl, because he's a professional donkey raiser. He's not here today. But I asked him, I go, Daryl, what would happen if there was a brand new donkey? He was just born. He's maybe a year old. Never been ridden. And I just wanted to jump on that donkey. Daryl said, I asked Daryl, what would happen? And he said, wear a helmet. Right? Do you think that there might be some significance to Jesus jumping on the back of a donkey that had never been ridden, and that donkey just lets him ride? Let me show you some security. I want to give us some hope. In this week, there will be 12 times in the Scripture where it says it is written. 12 times. They indicate five incidents. There are five incidences where Jesus rides, is in Jerusalem, and he goes, oh, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. This is one of them. I'll come back to it. He rides it in. He goes over. He comes into town. They're all worshiping. Jesus enters the city, goes right to the temple. This one's interesting. And he drove out. What's happening is people are supposed to bring sacrifices. They didn't bring their sacrifice. So they stopped by the Dollar General on the way to church in order to buy a sacrifice. But the Dollar General, they just set it up in the court of the Gentiles outside the temple, so people didn't have to worry about it. Just get your sacrifice on the way in, and we'll make a little money off of you on the way, right? 1995, I got the secret of God, and I'll sell it to you. Well, if you act now, we'll give you two of them for $22.47, or whatever the deal is. That's what they were doing out there. Jesus rides into town. It's very weird. He rides into town. He's been going in and out for 3 years, known publicly. But this day, why? Is he's engaging something. On this day, he's going to engage some powers, and those powers will be defeated by the end of the week. He's riding into the perfect storm. Pressure is coming down from the kingdom of darkness. Dennis, the Bible even says Satan himself entered one of Jesus' disciples named Judas. Satan entered him. Satan is pushing two other powers. One power to the right is the Jewish political, the Jewish religious system. The other power to the left is the Roman political system. Jesus rides in, everybody's against him. Demons, Romans, Jews. First thing he does is go to the temple and go. There'll be something to be helpful here. And go, if I'm going to live through this, I must first establish prayer. Doesn't say preaching. Let's see what it says. Said he brought in and overturned the tables of money changers, seized those sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of," help me out with it, prayer. Doesn't say preaching, does he? Goes, this is a house of prayer. Now look what's happened. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You've made it a den of robbers. And then Jesus, gentle and mild. Anybody ever had this Jesus show up at your house? He's not gentle and mild. He's just turning over tables going, you need to straighten this up. You got to get it straightened up today. Sir, yes, sir. Let me show you what happens. The crowd said, this is a prophet. Jesus entered the temple, drove out all who sold, overturned the money changers. He said, it's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Do you have the next one, or is that all I had to? There we go. Pause for dramatic effect. And then it goes, and the blind and the lame came to him, and he healed them. The blind and the lame were not allowed to come to church. The blind and the lame were outcast. They didn't have doorways and wheelchair ramps. If you were blind, you couldn't work. If you were lame, you couldn't get there. They're cast out. They can't come in. Jesus goes, I'm going to confront demons. I'm going to confront religious systems. And I am going to confront political systems in order that I can get to some broken people that their tires keep coming to the top and nobody can help. The lame and the blind are the helpless that nobody can help. Here comes Jesus. He confronts the political system by coming in as a king. He confronts the religious system as a prophet who comes into the house and turns it upside down. He confronts the political system, the religious system, and now he confronts the kingdom of darkness and says, those that you have broken, I will heal. He comes in to the city as a king. He goes in and turns over the tables as a prophet. He goes in to the people that are broken as a priest. The prophet, priest, king, son of David has now come to town. That Sunday. Maybe today in our fellowship, there's somebody that just needs Jesus to touch them. And he goes, I will fight through power to get to you. When I get to you, I release a power that is greater in order to help you. Isn't that like amazing good news? We're going to say amen. Molly's going to come down, stand with me. We're going to worship for a minute. If you would like to be prayed for, we want to give opportunity to pray for you. I'd like to ask also if we could do this morning. We got a few minutes to do this. If there is somebody that is not here that you go, I want to pray for them. I want you to join with me. Some place they call it standing in. I don't mind for that. I'm standing in the place of this person. There are people that did that. They came to Jesus, and they would just go, I'm standing in place of my son that can't be here, of my daughter that can't be here. Would you touch her? And as they prayed, Jesus would act, the power of Christ would actually touch somebody in another place. So this morning, maybe you go, there's somebody that's not here right now. I'm asking Jesus to touch them. Would you guys agree with me that he would do that? And we'll be down here if you'd like to come that way also. We'll do it. And then we'll be here for a little bit, just a few minutes. And then we're going to ask those that were baptized last week to come forward, and we will receive them as we go out. Is that good? Why don't you stand together with me? Father, we believe that your name is above every name. We believe that there are powers that you have overcome. We believe that Easter matters because of the resurrection. And in that resurrection, there is hope beyond all hopelessness. There's nothing that a human can do to another, that the enemy can do, that you cannot heal. And so we boldly stand before heaven and earth, trusting in the power of your resurrection this morning. I pray for those gathered under the sound of my voice, that you would release your anointing. Lord, I pray that you would make handcrafted answers, colors of grace for specific problems people are going through. Lord, I pray for those that will hear this word via social media, and for those gathered in this room, that those things that just push their way to the top, that no one seems to be able to help, I pray that by your Spirit, you would touch those and bring deliverance and healing this morning. We thank you for a Savior that would die on the cross for our sin, that would trade his life for our life. We worship him and honor him. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. As we worship, if you'd like prayer, you can come up and we'll pray.